Hello, and welcome to the Tavern Chat podcast, live from...
Captain's Bar and Grill.
Captain's Bar and Grill, directly across from the Complete Strategist on 33rd Street here in wonderful New York City on a miserable fucking day. I am here with Joe the Lawyer.
Hello, hello.
And my lovely wife, Rachel.
Hello.
And we are doing our, I don't know, it's not quite by...
Maybe two or three times a year.
Two or three times a year, pub chat.
Yeah, usually when I get on vacation.
Try to get it to four.
yeah, absolutely.
We'll aim for seasonal. We make no promises. But, yeah, we've never been at Captain's before.
No.
We've experimented with Rattle and Hum, which closed, and another one a couple blocks away.
A few Irish bars down the road, yeah. It's like Little Ireland down the road there, a little Dublin.
Yeah. But Captain's is a nice, fairly average size of small bar / restaurant with a nice little menu. Prices are awesome.
Yes, very not New York prices, which we're all very happy about, I think.
Happy hours from 11 to 8. Figure that one out.
Yeah,
$5 beer and wine, and
give people a chance.
And your $10.95 lunch includes a free drink.
Does it really? That was the first drink is free.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if it's Monday through Friday only.
Oh wow.
Maybe.
But if it maybe, but if it isn't, then
then I'll have another one. All right, that works out. It's so cheap here. I might go back to Complete Strategist and buy a few more dings. It worked out all right. Yeah.
But no, this is always it's always a good time hanging out, and and this kept the walk down to a minimum.
Absolutely, we're all in favor of that, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I walk four blocks in New York is like what, 9 miles?
Yeah.
You know? So yeah.
No. By the time you shove your way through the crowds and stuff, yeah.
Plus, it looks like it might rain all day long, so we can avoid it all that basically.
Yeah, it's not a heavy rain. It's like one of those misty days, but
yeah. Yeah.
And we're not going to ask you to sing Misty for us unless you want to call in on the voicemail, in which case we'll probably put it up. Joe, you picked up Lankmar.
Yeah, I did. Because I you guys probably, if you follow my the MeWe post, and I also posted over on the Mos Eisley space putter of the OSR, which is the RPG site, Pundit's Place.
Oh, yes.
Right? So I posted over there because I know there's always, you know, there's always a good conversation there, and he doesn't edit and censor bullshit, which is good. And the conversations, believe it or not, don't devolve into you're an asshole, you're a Nazi. It always, you know, works out pretty good usually. But anyway, I posted over there because I got there's a lot of old school guys over there, and I put it on MeWe that I wanted to get Lankmar, right? And that was the DCC version that came out. I saw it at ShireCon. I put my raffle ticket in hoping to win it at ShireCon. Didn't win it. And so I had a vacation coming now, a little extra vacation money I've been saving up. So I figured, let me check this out. Posted on MeWe looking for recommendations because there have been several incarnations, right?
Right.
There was the first edition AD&D one, which I loved. I have that, the gray thing, right? And then there was the second edition, which was an update, revised first edition because Fritz Leiber wrote more books. So they updated it with that, more content, but it was the same, and it was a lot of fluff, which means you can transfer it to any system you want, fifth edition, any edition, right? And then I think there was a Savage Frontier put out a version.
Savage Worlds.
Savage Frontier. That's the Waterdeep thing. That's right. Yeah. The Forgotten Realms. And then there was one for RuneQuest. Was it?
I am not sure. I know there were a couple.
Mongoose, I think. No, was it?
It might have been Mongoose, yes.
Okay, I think.
When you say RuneQuest, yeah.
I think
Mongoose
it was for RuneQuest, yeah.
Did, I believe, have a Link Martish. And I think the family has been pretty open to licensing his estate.
Yeah. And speaking of which, Michael Curtis did this. So that was, for me, I was looking for fluff. I know this is made for DCC, which is a good system if you like that system, which I'm not in favor of that gonzo-ness, so I don't, you know, play it. My big question was, how does it compare with the other Lankmars? And when it when you look at it, can you use it? Is it more fluff or is it more crunch? Because I'm looking for fluff, not crunch, right? I'm looking
right.
for setting stuff.
Because fluff is convertible across systems. Crunch is much harder to convert.
And so I after all your recommendations, which I appreciate, and I thank you for all the guys on MeWe and the RPG site, I pulled the trigger the day and it came in the mail. And I did a cursory look at it, but I figured we could do a semi-half-ass unboxing here. You know what I mean? Now, Eric, you said you had this, right?
I have this. I backed the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
It was packed full of stuff.
It is full. It's a full box. And the box could withstand the next zombie apocalypse. This is a solid box. Look at this thing. And the cool thing is that in the box itself, it comes with a number. You get the PDFs.
Yes.
So that's cool, right? And so you got three books, The City of the Black Toga, Compendium of Secret Knowledge. There's a judge's screen, which is kind of neat. Lankmar specific DM screen, which is solid.
Right. You know? And which is, you know, just for the fact that it's a screen, is usable in any game.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a solid thing. Different quarters of Lankmar, fleeting luck, carousing in Lankmar, patron influences, languages known, monster table in the back, and cool pictures, you know? And then, so that was a Lankmar lighting table, Nuhan Restorer. Yeah, so good stuff, right, on the screen. Then we got a level one adventure by Michael Curtis, which is number zero in the line of adventures, right? No Small Crimes in Lankmar. It's like a first edition adventure. I imagine it's a funnel, right? DCC.
If it's your level, it probably is.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's number zero level one adventure.
Oh, okay.
So it's probably
okay.
A funnel.
Okay. Okay. So that's pretty cool. And then going through the books, we got looks like the Compendium of Secret Knowledge. It seems to be, right? It seems to be stuff related to the setting.
Yes.
A lot of random tables, all right, which is cool. Again, that's fluff. Take that wherever the hell you want, right? And so that's good stuff. All right, so various tables, there's nothing DCC specific I can see in this book, right? This No Small Crimes in Lankmar was the adventure. Lankmar City of the Black Toga, all right? This looks like it's a breakdown of the various city quarters, I believe. All right, the government, the structure. This is pure fluff of Lankmar, right?
Yeah.
This is the writing, all right? So that's kind of neat. Places of interest, all the different quarters. Now, what I want to do is combine this stuff, all the various quarters, with how the second edition did it. You know what I mean? A, okay. D&D. I imagine between the two of them, you should be able to get a lot of good content out of this, combining the two. Now, the cool thing about this that put it over the top for me was Michael Curtis did it.
Yeah. Michael Curtis is not only just a skilled author, but he is... He's a historian. That's the way he handled this project.
Yeah, yeah.
Is some of this Doug's artwork? Doug
Kovacs? Yeah, I would guess the cover is.
The cover totally looks like
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
But, Michael Curtis... If you're going to go and research the source material and spend weeks with the source material
Hardcore.
On location, that means that your project is going beyond system.
Yeah.
You know, the system is secondary to the actual historical
accuracy in a sense.
Work. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that was a selling point. You guys pretty much give me good information about it, but when I found that out that he was involved, because he did the Dungeon Alphabet, right?
He did the Dungeon Alphabet.
He
also, even before that, oh God. He did one of the earlier Mega Dungeons.
Which one?
He published the
Stonehill?
Stonehill.
Stonehill, yes, yes. He was one of the original Mega Dungeons.
Yes.
You're right.
Stonehill was awesome.
Yeah.
And it holds up to time.
That's true. You look at it, it's still good today. Now, I'm looking at the maps that came with this thing. You got the land of Nuhan, which was, it's cool. It's written like, it looks like somebody who aged 16 did the map. But it's quality.
Right.
You know what I mean?
A skilled 16-year-old.
Exactly. And then we got the actual City of Lankmar itself.
Which is detailed. Oh, and it's long. I like that.
Yeah, it's a very long map. Very long and very detailed. So that's nice. I'm going to compare this to the old AD&D one as well.
Right.
See how that compares. And then we got the judge's guide. I think this is more to crunch. All right.
I don't know.
No, it looks like
there is some crunch. There's some spells. There's some patrons in here.
Yeah.
I can see that, but there's also a lot of charts that are not directly related.
You're right.
I mean, just for a little background, I have run DCC adventures for Swords and Wizardry characters, converting on the fly. It's a lot easier to go from a heavier system to a lighter system.
Yeah.
Because all you're going to be doing is removing stuff but keeping the flavor. Whereas we're going from a softer system or a lighter system to a heavier system, you got to add in crunch, and that's hard to do. It's nearly impossible to do on the fly.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, most of my experience was playing an Eric's game, and I call that the drunken haze of Saturday night games back in the day. There was a lot of that going on. These are Saturday night games.
I had to be sober, but nobody else did.
Yeah, but it was fun, and I barely remember any of it. But I remember it was a good time because I don't remember most of it, so it must have been a good time, right? So, And then I played, and Sean Sanford was running a Saturday DCC game. He would alternate weeks on his Flail Snails games. And he let us bring Flail Snails characters into his DCC world. And it was he would converse shit on the fly as well.
Really?
He was easily done. Good DM. Shout out to Sean Sanford. Good DM. And I think he may be one of the last guys still running a regular Flail Snails game. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen them advertised on Facebook or maybe really. But
I know it's the Flail Snails server for Discord.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's a couple hundred people in there. And they're always like, hey, looking for a game, looking for a DM, something like that. So that's kind of neat, you know? And what I thought was neat, Eric, which is in light of what you're talking about, you with the zine coming out, right?
Yeah. I have fallen behind my aspect of it. The team's been really good. I've been really shitty, but...
Well, here's the thing that comes with this box set. It's called the Goodman Games Gazette, right? It looks like a newspaper. It folds up like a newspaper. And volume 2, number 1, I don't know if there was any earlier ones, but it's really cool. It's in a newspaper format, right?
Right.
And inside of it, you see articles.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right? So, Swords and Sorcery, The Influence of Fritz Leiber, Introducing the Game Hole, I guess, at the Game Hole Convention, right? Yep. I guess that was what we were talking about there. So,
DCC Linkmar.
DCC Resource Guide, yeah.
Oh, yeah, NPC Resource Guide, yeah.
Yeah, so it's DCC related plus Linkmar related, you know what I mean? So this is kind of slick, I like it. And I was thinking to myself, we always do zines in a traditional zine format of the folded 8.5 by 11, right?
Or half that to 5.5, to 5 by 8.5.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The mini zine or whatever. Tim Shorts is a lot of
those. Digest
size,
yeah.
Yeah, but this is kind of cool. How cool would it be to have an OSR newspaper like this every once in a while?
Tempt me not, Satan.
What's that?
Tempt me not, Satan. Unless you plan on being the main man and I'm the assistant.
You can pull it off, man.
No, I can't. No, I can't. Listen.
Shutting that down right
now. I'm shutting it down right
now. Rachel, shut it down. It's over. Yeah.
And the reason why I'm shutting it down is because I've had... My December was not just busy, but I was also between health issues. Nothing totally serious, but just enough to be annoyingly chronic. And my... I'm going to call it 3.5 trips to the fucking dealer for my check engine light. The distraction was huge.
So you're saying yes, you're going to put out the newspaper.
No, I did not say that. I said nothing of the sort. Let me work with my team on Torchlight. And again, when Torchlight comes out, and any of its faults will belong solely to me. The success will belong pretty much solely to the contributors. Then we'll revisit this, Joe.
All right, all right.
I'll still tell you no.
That paper looks like a big pain in the backside.
It does. It looks big, but it's cool.
Well, I don't.
It is so cool.
Very nice.
Well, here's the thing with the paper.
As a former paper boy, you know.
Right, here's the thing with the paper, though. You can't get it printed at Tri-Fit. You're not going to get it printed at Lulu.
No, yeah.
So you have to get a local printer that will print it, and
That's true.
That means, God forbid, somebody has to ship it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And since I'm sure Joe is thrilled by the idea of shipping this from Connecticut.
Well, I used to be a paperboy until I was 16. My paperboy days are done, so no, I'm not going to walk around and throw it to your front porch.
All 50 states plus the United Kingdom, not including Scotland, because you know about those Scots.
Yep.
They all cause trouble. They want
to... Trying to be independent again, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they want to be independent from the UK, which is going to be independent from the EU.
Yeah, a lot of independence going on.
So then Scotland can be independent from the UK and then join the EU.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's how it works.
Yeah,
it is.
Okay, I am not an expert at geopolitics. I make no claims to be. I just play the role on a podcast.
You know what got me thinking about this Linkmar again was... I was reading something, and this goes back to, it was funny, Rachel, nope, we're not doing a newspaper, because in the wise of the OSR, right? I've always thought that'd be a neat podcast to do, but sort of the wise of the OSR. Now, all you guys I play with, right, the Monday games and all the Bass and the Saturday games, the wives are cool. Rachel's cool, Tim's, Ivy is cool. They're all cool wives, right?
Right.
But there are some wives, right, it just made me think about this, because Rob Kuntz did a post over in EN Worlds, and he talked about a guy who started gaming with him in his 70s that sort of, I think he put it, he got married and drifted away, and then they ended up moving, and this and that, played less with us, and they ended up moving out of town. And there was a comment there And some guy, he captioned that sentence or whatever, and he commented it, and he says, yeah, we call that getting wifed in the back.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, getting wifed in the back. I loved it. I laughed my ass off because there was one guy we played with that ended up having it. He tried and tried and tried, and he dropped out for a long time, and he finally divorced her and came back to the game again. You know what I mean? But I think about that. It's like you got, as a gamer, you got. I'm a single guy, so I got no skin in this game, but I just, as an observer, I've seen it from both sides. Getting wifed in the back, where I mean, you lose gamers. Yeah. You know what I mean? You lose gamers because at the time, I don't know what it is.
It's time, not, children, power and control, whatever it is.
Something, yeah, right. I mean, maybe you give us some insight to this as to what goes on, because I've seen it more power control from what my guy.
Yeah,
right.
You know,
but, and I feel like, you know, if you enter children into the equation, that gets to be more difficult.
Yeah.
To like really honor like what the person's, what your mate's hobbies are, just like your own. But you know, I think like Eric and I are lucky in the way that we don't have children, so we don't have to.
Well, we have Chris, but he's 26.
Right, yeah. We have a grown. You know,
we don't have
young children that need. I mean, like, you know, constant whatever. We don't have like soccer practice and all this crap. You know, so we get to really honor what each other's hobbies are and respect them and, you know, help each other be available to them.
Yep, that's cool.
And
that's
not just tabletop RPGs. My old gaming group, which was my old tabletop gaming group, and then it became my massively multiplayer online RPG group, which I am still on the mailing list to and I still participate with.
Nice.
But I don't play MMOs. And I hear them say things like in the email threads, you know what? You know, tomorrow night, my wife's out with her girlfriend, so there's no wife I'm going to worry about.
So you can play or do whatever, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no supervision
or
dictation.
You know, well, Saturday I've got soccer practice with the elder boy and softball with the younger one, and then I got this wife. But I should be available from 8 p.m. on, assuming no wife ever.
Yeah. It's funny because when my brother had the triplets, right? And so this is where they just turned 12. So this is 12 years ago, all right? And so they had him just after Christmas, just before New Year's. So yahoo for a tax deduction, right?
Aww.
But we ended up, we still played after he had them. We brought him home, this and that. Now his wife, I mean, they're both of them, are always exhausted. But he was like, damn it, we're still going to play D&D. And what we would do is, since we had a break every 4 hours, they had to feed the triplets. And you got to feed them all at the same time if you can, right? So we would break game at 10:30 or so, and him and I and some other random player would go up there. We're feeding the baby,
nice.
Trying to give his wife a break because she was always, you know what I mean. So
that's,
and if
way.
We played late enough, we get the 2 a.m. feeding in too, you know. But we rarely got to that point. Yeah, we get to feeding in, we get the burp, we get thrown up all over the place, all over us, and we go back downstairs and keep playing. In the meantime, the guys downstairs who were waiting, you know, for the half hour or so for the feeding would do whatever, amuse themselves.
There's a way to incorporate use it for positive.
There's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We really, goddamn it, we made it happen. But nice. But we ended up, we played at his house. I don't know if she would have been cool at that time with us playing at someone else's house, because where's her support, right?
Right.
Yes.
Understandably so.
You're
triplets.
Leaving me be home with these kids?
Yeah, I remember at some point they were like, well, I want to go to a supermarket. They just let me out of the house. I just want to go to the supermarket. They wanted to be the one to go to the supermarket. You know what I mean? Just to make that, the run that would be annoying, where you did you not have four kids at home, would be like the escape valve for a half an hour to go pick up this, you know. So that was just kind of funny. But yeah. But as it goes, in terms of the wife in the back thing, I mean, one other guy, he ended up, she tried to pull him away, and she moved all over the place, but he still kept coming. But not as much, you know.
Well, I'm gonna give a true story from the vault of Tenkar.
Uh-huh.
This goes back. Oh my God, I'm 52 now. This probably goes back like 33 years. That's probably 19 or 20.
Before my time.
Oh, way before your time. I was in college. I was dating a girl named Elisa, and my gaming group, we gamed. I don't remember if we were gaming on Sundays at that point. Maybe it was Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, she invited herself to the game session.
Oh.
But not to game.
Yeah.
Just to snuggers.
Oh, God, really?
Oh, man.
Now, listen, we used to play in my parents' dining room. And it got to the point where my mother pulled me aside and said, listen, I'm getting disgusted.
Wow.
And if I'm getting disgusted, I can only imagine how your friends feel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gross.
You gotta nip this.
Uh-huh.
You gotta nip this.
You have to uninvite her.
Yeah.
You have to uninvite her for a future gathering.
Yeah, you know, the funny part was when, I guess all the, except for me, obviously, back in the day, I had broken up with a girlfriend, from a college girlfriend, and all the other guys, my brother and a few friends of ours, they were sort of solidifying the long-term girlfriend who would then become their wives, right? And so we had been in gaming before them, and so when they all realized, they must have done, this was before the internet and texting, obviously, right? So the mid-90s. I can only imagine there was a big conference call, right? And they said, hey, we should, you know, like, what are the guys doing? They say they're going to play D&D. For all they know, we're going to a strip club or whatever, right?
Right.
And so there must have been this conference call that went around because all of a sudden, every one of them invited themselves to our game just to see what it's about. I might like it. Maybe we could play together. And we're all like, all right, whatever. They all showed up. They hated it. They realized this is geeky shit. They're not cheating on me. I'm never coming back again. You know what I mean? And so that was the end of that. They didn't come back again. So that was it. So that worked out well, you know? I think we probably made it more geeky than it normally is at that day. So
nice.
They would make sure they would never come back again. You know, right. Because we need our guy time, our man cave shit, right?
Yeah, this isn't like high school when you're hoping that a girl or two from school will actually play with you.
Yeah, 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 exactly. It's a whole different story when you're, you know, just guys.
Rich, I think you actually said something like that when we were, I don't know, dating or...
Something like which?
When we first got married. It's like, you know, I'm happy with you gaming and on like Saturday nights because I know where you are. You're at home. You're playing on a virtual tabletop. You're not at a strip joint.
And no touching and feeling going on.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So, what am I going to complain about?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and so I think in this thing, like if you don't have this as one of your hobbies yourself, you know, it's like, sure, you express an interest and, you know, try to understand, like we'd want to understand anything that our partners are doing.
Yeah.
And then if it's sort of like, oh, really? Well, oh, that's so funny. You have your own reactions. And then you just, like, let the invitation kind of happen to come into it. I remember, you know, Eric was excited, I guess, about Tunnels and Trolls or something like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so he introduced me to this game one time when we were in the Poconos. And then...
That she remembers is amazing.
Soon after we, you know, maybe a couple of years after that, we went to the North Texas, which... I thought I was going to just, oh, shit, I got to find my own stuff to do. Yeah, I'd love to see Dallas, whatever, whatever. I'm sure I can find stuff. And then when I got there, I was like, oh, shit, this place is just too damn huge. My anxiety is through the roof because everything is so, like, spread out and huge.
Very different than, you're right, Dallas.
Yeah, it's not like New York where you just get on a train and just go anywhere you want.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or get on public transport, go wherever. And so I kind of had to sort of, okay, what is this about? So that was sort of the opening for me.
Now you're a regular.
To learn. Yeah.
Yeah. You play once in a while, or you play with me side by side every time at ShireCon, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. I'm one away from leveling up at ShireCon, right? One more adventure and I level up there?
Ooh. Yeah.
All right. I'm getting there.
And it's funny, too, because with Rach, her first game was with Tim Schneider.
Oh, that was so fun.
It was Time Master, and I chose Time Master with Tim Schneider for a reason. And the reason being, I figured nobody at the table besides maybe Tim and myself will actually own a copy of the rules. I own the old page set of rules of Time Master. And I was right. Everybody else is just like, it sounded like fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So Rach wasn't disadvantaged by not knowing the rules. So there wasn't going to be some asshole going, what do you mean you don't know what to do? What do you mean? It was a good introduction. And Rach was a little nervous for the first 20 minutes or so. And then all of a sudden, she's doing these, what is it, double hip, double quadruple Nelson.
Some kind of wrestling stuff I was doing.
Yes.
Yeah. Worked out.
It worked
sort
out.
Sort out those
forearmed creatures. Yeah. Yeah. And so it was a good choice.
That's very sweet.
Your first GMs were Tim Schneider, Zach Laser, Doug Kovacs.
Good.
Matt Finch.
Yeah. Wow, good.
And...
Good.
Michael Curtis.
Ah,
but we never actually played
him. We
Michael
never got to play with him.
No, really? No, we were all, it was
we just
Saturday
went
night.
Drinking, I think.
Yeah, it was Saturday night. We were all exhausted. And Mike's like, I could run this game, but I really think I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And it's like, we can always go down to the hotel bar. He goes, yep. Yeah.
Done.
There we go.
There we go. That's what we did.
It's like a good con. Oh, man. You know, what I was thinking we could do here, I know you got the, you could always use the voicemail for Anchor, obviously, but you got the Google number, which probably you don't have written down, right?
Oh, I would. Yeah, God forbid. But I will have it in the show notes. So.
What I thought would be interesting and fun, since we're talking about getting wiped in the back and all the gamers have been lost to married life, call in with an obituary.
Oh my God.
Call him with an obituary of the gamers that you've lost to marriage.
Oh, that's,
you know,
nice.
You say, just give a little 30-second eulogy. Give a call in and let us know who it was and what happened and what it's all about. And give it a eulogy format.
Nice.
And I figure that way it's sort of like, you know, we can put the past to rest with them a little bit.
Well, here, I'm going to give a quick background on this on my end. My gaming group, we had... I believe three of our players got married while we had the gaming group going. That's my old high school college group.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we still kept it going. And we kept it going until early winter of 97. Because what happened at that point? I went into the police academy and I was no longer off on... I graduated the police academy. Okay. No longer off on Sundays.
All right.
And the moment the habit broke, the moment you couldn't make sure that everybody was ready and available, that was it. I mean, I could have gamed every other Sunday. I would have been home by 4:30, 5 o'clock. But that was it. It was done, because that's when marriage responsibilities... Uh-huh. It's like, you came into the marriage, you were gaming every Sunday, and the wives were reluctantly accepting it. But now when that... you no longer have that obligation?
Yeah.
They took it back?
Your time is filled.
And it was never regained.
Yeah.
Never regained.
Yeah. So I figured, why don't we raise a toast to all the great wives of gaming who actually don't buzz balls. Cheers to that.
Cheers to Rachel.
Rachel, Ivy, and all the other women we play who let their husbands play D&D.
I guess the two gems out there from...
Mm-hmm.
Frog God, North Texas.
Yep, I'm not sure what Matt's wife's name is, but we never actually.
And Christy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
Christy.
Yeah, yeah. And eulogies, guys, for everybody who you've lost to marriage.
Yes.
Let us know.
Oh God.
So what'd you get today? Anything from Complete Strategist?
I got. Rach got me a game from Steve Jackson Games.
Uh huh.
It had bullet dice.
I saw those things.
Right,
that's cool.
It's a zombie game.
It's a zombie game with bullets as dice.
That's just good alone. You can use the bullets, the dice for anything.
Right.
It comes with a cup, and that's how you roll your dice.
Shake them up, yeah. That's cool.
And then, Rach, what did you get?
I got a tiny, tiny Dunkin' Yo-Yo.
Okay.
And I got a tiny, tiny Uno deck.
All right.
That I could use at work.
Dunkin', I can't believe Dunkin' is still making yo-yos. I mean, that was the prime yo-yo. When you're a kid, you wanted the Dunkin' one. Everything else is a pale imitation,
yeah.
Right? It was like the glittery ones, too.
Yes.
You know, the ones with the glittery side.
And they have the glow-in-the-dark ones.
Yes.
All the good stuff. The light up.
Did you buy those things?
Oh, God, yeah, I did. They're multicolored.
All right.
I was looking at those dice. They were
put a light behind anything, and I'm like, we have to see, you know, or make it pink or purple.
Did you get the rainbow one? That was nice. Yeah,
they
were real
sure
nice.
Where it is. No.
They're in my bag.
But
that's okay, because the listeners couldn't see them anyway.
Yeah,
true.
They're pretty cool. Like,
until you get your YouTube channel.
Yes.
That's coming, right?
That's coming. I don't know exactly when I'm going to launch it, but... I would love it if I could figure out a way to actually have a guest host on occasion.
Oh, you can totally bring in. I've seen people do live YouTube broadcasts where they bring people in, 4 or 5 people.
Yeah, but you used to do these hangouts to do it. Now you can't.
Oh, really? So you got to record it via YouTube?
Or OBS.
Then upload it to YouTube or something?
And I want to, listen, I want to be simple. I want to do this just using my iPad.
Yeah.
So we shall see how simple I can keep it.
Yeah. You know, you got to ask, it's a 12-year-old kid.
Yeah.
They all know how to do it, right? Now, I ended up getting 5 Linkmar modules, number 1 through 5. I figure if I can do it, I dive in all the way, you know what I mean? So,
right.
See how it goes. They had the first 5. They had a couple more over there, but I figured, let me stick with the first 5. Depending on how this bar time goes, I might get the other couple they got over there. So it worked out okay. But I like to hit the bookstores. I'm in New York too. I like to get to the Strand. I'm going to hit that a little later after you guys think. You want to go down? You want to do it? Or?
Sure.
I
never get anything from the Strand at this point.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but I just don't.
Why?
I don't read novels anymore.
Oh, okay.
You know, now even stuff that I read on the Kindle, which is great, so I can read in bed.
Yeah.
I think the last novels I read was a comedy series for fantasy RPGs.
Okay.
I forget the name of it. It moved quickly. It was lighthearted enough, and the main characters were gamers transported to a fantasy world by a GM that was not a GM.
Yeah.
It was really some like demon or devil or something like that.
That's cool.
That was good, but I haven't been able since chemo. I haven't been able to read novels.
Well, one of the first times we went there, you pulled out a Gygax novel off the shelf. Remember that?
Yep, I still have it.
Can't believe that. That's a find right there.
Yeah, it was like a Gygax Western or something like that.
Yeah, who'd have thought? We're weird shit, right?
Yeah. I was like,
Yeah, I couldn't believe you pulled out. I'm looking for Michael Moorcock, and I'm in the M's, and you're looking over there in the G's, pulling out a Gygax book. Holy shit. Yeah, the Strand is a used bookstore in New York, and they advertise, I think it's 18 miles of books.
So
it's massive. It's a massive 3-4 floor extravaganza.
It's a mecca.
I love it.
A mecca.
It's a book lover's book. It's a mecca. Just like Complete Strategies is a mecca. So yeah. And I actually finally dug into
Sacred
spaces.
And so I take my shoes off at the mecca.
And bow before you go. Yeah. Circle it 400 times or something.
Yeah.
Get it closer every time. Yeah, but I know that I went to Strategist and I got there early, before, just as they opened, and so there's nobody in there because it's kind of a cruddy day. And they have a shelves just below the Raji shit. Oh, I invoked the R word. But just below his stuff, there's like two shelves that have been blocked for years by just stacks of board games. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to move these fucking stacks of board games.
Right.
I dug through them. Now I know why they're locked for the years. Because there ain't nothing got a damn good thing in there. Just old stuff that nobody ever wanted. So
oh,
they
you
stuck
you're
it all.
Find something
yeah, I think
there.
I'm going to get the first edition, whatever, Monster Manual that has the thing in it, you know, that's worth something or something.
He'd find the Judges Guild stuff.
Yeah, the old crap.
Wilderland's first print.
Yeah, no, he had nothing down there. It was all shit. You know, so I'm like, the hell with this. Now I know, though. I'm never going to go back and look at it again. They've had it blocked for years and years.
Yes.
You know, but now I know. Don't go bother. Don't waste your time, guys.
Do you know they have a 50% off section in the back?
Oh, shit, really? I missed that.
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot, 50% off. Mostly board games.
Board games? Okay. Not a board game guy. You know that? I'm not a card game or a board game person. I've never been a quote-unquote person like games. You know what I mean? I just like D&D. I'm like a fat guy, I'm a narrow gamer. You know what I mean? So, it's never the comic books. I can never afford the freaking things. You know, I can watch cartoons. I was never into comic books.
And, right.
Yeah, that sort of thing. But but Complete Strategies has every damn thing. And not just D&D shit. Annual games, war games, you name it, they got it. Yeah. Filled to the gills. So, speaking of filled to the gills, I need another drink. But right. I think it's probably a good time to...
To call. Look at
the podcast.
We're at over half an hour.
Wow. Well, okay. We just crank out a good one.
Well, yes, as always.
Hopefully it's a good one.
As Joe said, I'm still looking for feedback. So folks, want to leave some feedback on what kind of games should be reviewed on the YouTube channel. The reason why I went to this on the YouTube channel, it's a visual.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice. I can talk about how great a game is put together physically on a podcast, but it won't mean shit to you.
Yep, you could have held up that map. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that great Linkmar map and shown it, you know, little things like that.
Yeah, I think my only assist was being able to knock on. You had an audio
assist for the box quality when Rachel was knocking on a box.
This was serious box quality. Compared to remember your old Mincer box, you throw it in your bag and you know, you have the 3 days in your bag, it's crushed to shit, right?
Yeah, it's
the tape job around it to hold it together but it never works.
Tape it on the inside, tape it on the outside.
Exactly. You know, so it never worked well.
All right, folks. Well, I think I'm on my fourth pint.
Yeah, I had 3 pints in Long Island, so now I'm really ramping up.
We're gonna say a bit our goodbyes while we're still quasi sober.
A little bit.
All right, mostly sober. We'll see, folks. As always, be safe, be well. God bless. Roll those dice. Enjoy your new year, and I will talk with you soon. Joe will talk to you too via the. Joe the Lawyer's Wondrous Imaginings.
I haven't done it in a few months, but I want to get back in.
God, Joe!
I know.
How could you?
I stopped DMing all these games, and I'm like, wow, as a player, I don't have that much to say. When I DM, I got more to say, I figure. But I want to get into it. I want to do my brother and his wife and his daughters, because we're playing a Mensa box set game with them lately, and I want to do one with them maybe and
throw that out there. And we got one percolating with Tim and a guest. Tim and a friend I'm trying to get rolling. I won't divulge who yet, but I want to hear some old stories from back in the day from them. So
well,
Tim's trying to make that happen. Tim, make it happen, damn it. I've been asking you for a month now. Come on.
That's Tim Gothridge Manor Podcast. Yes. We're just name dropping right now. Yes. All these peoples that we know, you know. And Rach, when's your podcast coming? That's my thought.
That'd be great. Do a yoga podcast. It'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Maybe one day. Yeah.
Maybe one day, folks. You heard it here first. Rach said, maybe one day. Story of my life.
Oh. Hey, get out of here.
Yes. All right, folks. Be good.
Take care. Send those obituaries in. Let's hear
it. Oh, yeah.
All the gamers who have been lost.
Gamer obituaries, folks.
Later.
Laters.